Bible. Left mine down here, but at least I know where it's at, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll look at verse number 17. Just three words, but 25 points tonight, okay? Three words, 25 points. If you have 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 17. This morning we preached and talked about that verse that said they were without having no hope without God in the world. And so we talked about some things you can't do without. Well, tonight we'll look at some things that we ought to do without, okay? We got to go without. And first one, pray. What's it say? Without ceasing. We must keep on going. And so the Bible says, pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And so we must do without, we must do without ceasing. So let's pray. We'll ask the Lord to bless the sermon. Lord, I do pray that you'd be with Scripture as we read it. And Lord, as we come into your presence, I pray that you would remind us and review with us. And then, Lord, teach us. We sure need to be renewed from the inner man and grateful for the opportunity to be in your house today. Lord, if this is the week that you'd come back, I sure hope that we'll be mourning people and watching for you and working until the last trumpet sounds. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Three places in Thessalonians, it tells us to do something without. And so we must do without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. It just reminded me how important it is to keep doing things when a family that I hadn't seen for years. I mean, she said, you recognize me? And I said, I think I do. And I don't know what happened in between, but as we got talking, I remembered praying with her in the kitchen, I believe, when she asked the Lord to save her. And so she remembered it. And I know that when we pray without ceasing, we continue to do things without ceasing, it just enables something to take place. One of the most annoying things to me since COVID is things that you think are open, they're not, man. I'm so used to going to a store or a restaurant to get something, and then it's closed. I'm like, oh, it's what's going on? And they early closing, and I'm thinking, where, how, who? I went to three gas stations on the way home Friday night, and three of them were closed. I'm like, I got to find a place to get gas here. As I was driving back from up north a little bit. I won't tell you what town because I don't want to mention it anymore. But anyway, and man, I think, oh, if they just stay open, somebody's going to come and somebody's going to pay. Church, if we just stay open. That's half the battle in churches today, just being open for people to come and having something for people to come to. Not to compare ourselves among ourselves, but this one says, pray without ceasing. And I don't know if you've ever gotten to a habit of prayer and you feel like, man, I'm kind of praying habitually. Keep praying. Just keep praying. Well, I prayed for that last time. Pray for it again. Hey, you always get an A in prayer, just like junior high gym class. You just show up and you get an A for prayer. You're not going to get graded low for keep on praying. And just the encouragement here and the instruction here, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, quench not the spirit. These are short little instructions, but that one we must do without ceasing. We got to keep on praying. Look at chapter 2, verse 13 of same book. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. This verse has such rich things in it. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. That's what we'll look at, but if you keep on reading, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Well, when you believe the word, God causes things to happen when you believe inside of you. And he begins to take it from step one to step two. In this passage here, when you hear the Bible and something comes that you like or that you dislike, either way, you should recognize it's not the person preaching, it's not the person talking, it's from the Word of God. And it's because of that a source that I hope that we'll spend and share some time just in study of the Word of God. When I think I know it, I need to read it again. When I think I've showed it, I need to tell it again. There's just a constant need because of, number one, my memory, and number two, things that I go through in life, they keep on happening. It doesn't stop. The same things happen in life continually and over. So I need to keep looking at the Word of God and remembering this is as it is from God, not from men. And it says to thank God without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Hey, thank God without ceasing. I don't know if we can ever say thank you enough or too many times. It's something that would continue to be a blessing to someone else if we just said thank you. Here they're thanking. Thank we God without ceasing. When I begin praying, I hear myself saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I think that's a good thing to say all the time, right? To thank the Lord without ceasing. When you have a thankful and grateful heart, it keeps you in the right spot of humility and able for Him to raise you up. And when you take it for granted, it can be taken from you. And so it says, pray without ceasing. This one, thank God without ceasing. And go to chapter 1, verse number 3. Things we must do without. Let's thank God without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And here, 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. I'm sure that the encouragement here to the church of Thessalonica was that they had a work of faith. They had things that they were involved with because of their faith. And I hope not that I hope I leave, but if I ever did leave, I hope I could say, man, I remember how you worked and labored. I remember how you invited and then you witnessed. I remember how you gave and you sacrificed. I remember how you gave the preacher that joke book to help him out. Amen, right? I remember things that you did. And then it says, and labor of love. Laboring for the Lord, there's some different motivations for labor. I would say most of us labor for a paycheck. That's understandable. Like to eat or like to live and like to pay for things, so you labor because of a paycheck. But boy, when you labor for love, it's a different motivation and a different end work. And it says that, remember that without ceasing. Work of faith, labor of love, and look, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The world without hope and without God's in a sad situation, but your hope probably would have to have some patience with it as well. Yeah. When you're hoping things from God, the next word that you ought to learn and memorize is wait. Be patient with it. It doesn't not ensure to happen overnight, but just wait, be patient, and continue. I'm getting to the point where there's stories of waiting and now seeing things come to fruition, just come full circle, and that happens when the longer you stay at a place and you can see things come back around. But it just takes some patience. I had a neat thing this week with one of our young preachers, and I mentioned the service. God just came through for one of our young preacher boys in a situation that he was burdened with, didn't know what to do, and I think that the Lord protected him and provided for him. And when he talked to me Wednesday night, he said, I don't know what to do. I said, we're just going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to wait and let God do something. And he called me back Saturday. He said, preacher, it couldn't have worked out any better. I just want to thank the Lord. And he said, man, I just ask God, you got to protect me. I don't know what to do or how to do it. And It's probably a good monumental point in his ministry where you realize it's either God or we ain't got anywhere to go. Yeah. Remember when Moses said, Lord, if you don't take me up, I don't want to go. Yeah. I don't want to go any further. If you don't do it, I don't want to go without your presence. And that's when you remember those things, it's easy to give thanks. And then in order to give thanks, you got to keep praying. So you'll know who to give thanks to. They all kind of work in harmonious tandem to pray, to give thanks, and then to remember without ceasing with patience of hope in the sight of God our Father. And so Thessalonians, we must do without ceasing. We got to keep on doing praying, thanking, and remembering. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at something else we can do without. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14. The Bible says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Murmurings and disputings. I looked up the word murmuring in the Greek, and it says, wah, 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 wah. Okay? I'm just teasing. It doesn't say that, but it should say that. Quit crying. Quit whining. Quit complaining. Just do it. Oh, man, do I got it. Yes, you do, and now you're going to do twice as much when you act like that. Amen? Oh, do we have to do that? Yes, we do, or I wouldn't have told you that. Why are you crying and complaining? Oh, we can get that way with Christian things as well. And then I do think it's better, at least if you do it, than cry about it and not doing it. But, well, your attitude for the King of Kings, if Jesus asked you to go do anything that you think would be menial, you would surely just run and do it. And be glad to do it. But all sometimes in just the, I don't know, probably the weariness of a day, of a week, of a situation, of things piling up together, do it without murmuring, without disputing. There's folks watching your works, and they need to see your faith, not your foolishness about, and I'm just not accusing, I'm just saying that we ought to do all things without murmuring and disputing. We're disputing, debate, arguing, reasoning, thought, consideration. Well, Lord, do I have to? Quit asking God if you have to and just do what he says. Maybe in the Greek that should say more wah, wah, wahing, okay? First verse my mom made me memorize. I've told you that before. She was a wise lady trying to brainwash me the right way, right? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. I told the choir after this morning, Judson said, Dad, I want to get baptized. And I said, you do? And so I said, let's talk about this. And we've been praying for Judson to get saved. And he said, Cross got baptized. I want to get baptized. And I said, well, Judson, do you know you got to get saved first. He said, how I get saved? And I said, Judson, well, we got to know what sin is. Do you know what sin is? He said, no. And I said, Judson, have you ever told a lie? Me no lie. I said, Judson, have you ever done anything bad? Me no do bad. I'm going to have to teach him no murmurings or disputings, right? Oh, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. He's not able to be saved yet because he's never sinned, all right? But do all things without murmurings and disputings. Teach those kids those verses and put it in their hearts and brainwash them the right way. They'll know no different, know no other. And what a blessing that would be if a kid knew only the things of the Lord in the church house and the verses around it. That'd be a blessing. They're gonna get exposed to the world. We live in the world. You're not going to be unaffected or untouched, but well, you get those things nailed out. I love it. Walking with my kids somewhere, and they said, Dad, look at that. I'm like, I know. We don't do that, son. We don't do that, daughter. They can see what else the world does or those things that wouldn't match with some of godly standards, and they point it out. I remember when I was a kid, my mom took me to McAlpin's. Anybody go shopping at McAlpin's when you were a kid? I got lost in a ton of clothes circles in McAlpin's. I used to play hide and go seek. My mom didn't know I was playing it. I was hiding from her, and she'd be looking for me, and I'd get inside those circular clothes hangers. Y'all remember those? And, buddy, I could hide like no other. And she'd be, where are you at? And I'm just sitting in the middle of them, and they can't find me. And there was one lady there that always worked, and my mom knew her by first name, and she knew my mom by first name. But that told you anything about my early days when dad was at work and mom would go with the preacher's wife. That was the bad influence of my mother's life right there, right? And they go to McAlpin's, and this lady, I remember that she was outside, and she was smoking. And I said, you need to quit smoking. And I was like 3 or 4 years old. You know, later on, my mom said that they saw her, and she said, you tell your son I quit smoking. Wow. A little kid just told her, and she must have convicted her, and it was preacher days back in the old day. I don't remember even saying it. My mom said, you know, it must have got her attention, and later on, she said, hey, I did quit smoking. Well, when you teach kids what's right, they will understand and see what's not right. It's just a natural progression. And so, early on, teach them. And then, Christians, let's teach ourselves. Let's do all things without murmurings and disputings. Sometimes there is some labor in the Christian life. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. I would think that if the instruction says that, there's going to probably be some times where you get weary and get a little tiresome in the things of the Lord. But do it without murmuring. We can do without murmurings and disputings, right? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you ever need some self-marriage counseling, read 1 Corinthians 7 from verse number 32 on down. It's great marriage counseling, and I don't care where you're at in your marriage, we always need a reminder, and this is a good one, verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. And that's obviously in the context that if a guy didn't have a family, didn't have a wife or kids, then he could devote even more time just caring and thinking about whatever the things of the Lord would be. And verse 33, but he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may, underline this, what's it say? Please his wife. Well, preacher, I didn't know. Hey, it's yours, not my wife. Amen. You got to figure that out. But it says that he that's married ought to please his wife. Right. Learn what pleases her. Learn how to interact and go the right way. I have a wonderful wife, and I love Courtney very much, and she's downstairs, so I can talk a little about her without her knowing it tonight. Amen? And she's different than any other wife, and it doesn't matter what any other woman acts like. I need to figure out how to please Courtney Renee Stout. And sometimes what I thought would please her doesn't, and I got to change gears right in the middle of the process. Amen. Katie's in the church, but you hear Will back there. I need to get Will in trouble, get me out of the hot seat here. The Bible says, verse 34, there is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. Nate, that means a Kleenex for you back there, okay? Get one for your wife. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may, what's it say, church? Please her husband. I don't care about all you other guys, but Courtney Renee Stout needs to try to please Jeremy Stout. Amen. Where's this point at? Let's make sure she gets it. There needs to be an understanding between husbands and wives that it's not about you getting what you want. It's about you pleasing your spouse. If you'll get that and you'll practice that, all of a sudden you'll find it's working the other way just as well. And that spouse of yours, you'll find that if you invest the love and the sacrifice and just make it your job to please the other one, that all of a sudden they'll probably start to try to please the other one as well. And when that wheel gets rolling that direction, it's an awesome, awesome thing in a marriage. Verse 35 is our verse for tonight. That was just extra. Make sure Courtney heard that last point, okay? Look at verse 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. Can you imagine someone saying, I got to please my wife? That's going to be horrible. I got to please my husband? Do you know who he is? That's going to be a snare. And the Bible says, it's not that I want to cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower age and so acquire, let him know, do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Where's my verse at? I got to find it here a little bit. 735. It says, without distraction. So that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. I got distracted when I was reading that verse there. And so the thought here is this. He speaks for your own profit. Those that are unmarried is the chapter's subject. The marriage counseling is in there because if you are married, you need to care how you please your wife or your husband. But if someone's not married, that they may attend upon the Lord, look at this, without distraction. I know that there are 1,000 things to distract us while we're doing things that we're supposed to be doing. Do you all carry a cell phone with you? I know you do because I hear calls during church service all the time. And every once in a while, I'm the culprit and forgot to turn mine off. I always want to say, tell them I'll talk to them later after church is done. But it just happens in church. And we have distractions all the time. You're at work and your email goes off while you're trying to do this. You're on the phone and this thing and that thing. And it's a constant world of distraction. And boy, Christian, I would say that our purpose on earth is to bring glory to God. All the things that go on, don't get distracted from that. Man, I'm at ball games sometimes, and I just know that I could make every right call for the referee. You know what I'm talking about? I know I could make everyone for him if he'd just give me the whistle. And then my blood starts boiling when I think they're not being fair, and I'm like, and then I'm like, you're the preacher. Come on. Give some glory to the Lord here, and don't get caught up in the ball game and make a fool of yourself. And I remind myself, I can't get distracted for who I am. I'm a child of the King, and I represent God every minute of the day, not just at the pulpit while I'm reading the book in front of other people, but when I'm in a prayer closet, when I'm in a public arena, when I'm at a restaurant and I ordered a sandwich and they didn't give it my way. You know what I'm saying? And when you're on the road and someone decides that yielding doesn't apply to them. And you can't get distracted. It could happen, and you could get distracted from who you are, but your purpose is to give glory to God through any of these things. And so he speaks this here for single people. There's some wisdom here for a husband and wife, but the verse that we must do without distractions. I know that in church, whenever there's a crowd, there's always going to be someone that has to get up and go out. And I never say anything about it because you got to go, okay? Or whatever it is, what's going on. But remember church, previous church, that when someone was singing a song, they would hold people and wait to be seated so they wouldn't go distract what's going on and wait till the song's over to go be seated and things like that. We're country, and we spill water in the baptism and all kinds of crazy things, but, you know, there are distractions all the time. Try not to let that distract you from the Lord. Not just in the service, but in the days of what you're doing. Boy, we can get distracted on who we are and forget that even when things don't go the way we want them, I am still supposed to be a reflection and to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And don't be distracted. Go to Romans 12, Romans chapter 12. Verse number 9. We must do without. Let's do without the distractions that get us away from serving the Lord. Romans 12:9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. It says without dissimulation. That word means sincere and without hypocrisy or without unfeigned with unfeigned love. Meaning, make sure you love without hypocrisy or without a phoniness with it. Do you tell people you love them and really not mean it? Hey, I love you. Do you really love someone? In Christian service, that sincere, decided love, it's something that's genuine. And when you really, really want to do it in a Christian setting, other people will really, really sense that you really want to do it. They'll sense it. If it's not there, they'll sense that too. And I know it's, man, you come in the church many times just to get a break from the world, to rest, to lay your burdens down. You need some filling up, but man, there's a bunch of other people that need to sense something as well. I know that the purpose of a church is that each member would supply for another. And so when you come in the church, man, share some love for somebody else. Don't be the and you need it. I get it, but don't just be the member of the body that has to get it. Why don't you be the member of the body that has to give it? Give it without dissimulation. Love sincerely, without hypocrisy. Nothing that's going to waver or hinder it. I know that just in parenting, and I don't want to give all the illustration about me and my family. My kids now hear me preach, and they know. I mean, they live with me, so they get the good, bad, and the ugly just as well. And boy, there's times when I realize, man, I just made a mistake. And when I do that, I try to make sure that they know I love them without anything added or taken away. And that's just a learning process. And when you sense that you maybe have missed it with a family at church or with a person at church, hey, just be honest. Hey, I need to pray for you. I need to say something to you. My preacher that I worked for at Wilmington, he messaged me today and asked me to pray for him. He fell off a ladder changing a light bulb. I'm not going to change that light bulb in here. Somebody else is going to. He fell at his church in Savannah, Georgia years ago. Fell and hit his face on the pew, and had all multiple surgeries to do things with his put his face back in order and his nose. And he called me that he's going to have a surgery next week because there's an infection inside, and they're going to have to open him all back up to try to get the infection out. And I prayed right then for him, and I tried to call because I thought, man, I want my preacher asked me to pray. I want him to know I'm praying for him. I love him. And maybe I haven't said that enough, but I was honored that he just messaged me to pray for him. And I'm going to ask you all to pray for him. Pray for Pastor McInerney. And usually when you say pray for somebody's face, it's a joke. But literally, pray for his face. They're going to have to peel from eye to eye open and try to get this infection out. And I want to know that there's love without hypocrisy. And so let's do without the hypocrisy. When you tell somebody you love them, hey, let's show them that you love them. Let's try to be as sincere as we can. Go to 1 Timothy 2:8. 1 Timothy 2:8. Just a couple more. Here's two things we could surely do without. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, and what's it say? Without wrath and doubting. If you are a hand raiser in church, it wouldn't bother me a bit. I don't mind if someone wants to raise their hand. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you raise your hand, I might say, well, you got a question? Or it's an auction, you bought it right there. But it doesn't bother me a bit. And I'm usually not a hand raiser. I'm very stiff-necked and nailed down to the floor in my worship experience. And not that you have to be that way either. But it does say, if you're going to lift up those hands, what's it call them? They need to be holy hands. Holy hands. And I think it has to do with that same verse we just read, or love without dissimulation. There's nothing more hypocritical than a person to be so active in worship and so inactive in Christian living. I just have always sensed it and did not want that to be an error to give off, that I could be so enthusiastic in a worship service and so unenthusiastic for living for God after the service is over. And so if you lift up hands, it doesn't bother me a bit, but boy, let's make sure, let's get them holy hands, right? But the verse that I want to look at is without wrath and doubting. The wrath of man worketh not the will of God. James chapter 1 says something similar to that. And when I tell my kids, when you lose your cool, you're the fool. When you lose your cool, you're the fool. And boy, we could do without wrath. We could do in our Christian life and in your home life. Boy, can you just imagine if you took away every time you lost your temper, how that would have helped your home life? I mean, maybe you just never have lost your temper and you're holy, right? And you got it all set. But when I look back and think, wow, if I could just erase the wrathful moments, how much better my testimony and my time with everyone would be. Yeah. We can do without wrath, and then we can do without doubting. I don't know why I ever doubt God. He's never let me down before. Oh, yeah. That's right. I don't know why I ever doubt obedience to Him. He's always blessed it more and more. But somehow, in the human experience, I guess maybe just we doubt He'll do it for us. Yeah. That old song, it is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And if He did it for Daniel, He can do it for someone in this day. Right. If He did it for Moses, He can do it someone in this situation. If He did it for Peter, He can do it for someone in the present time. And here, I could go without wrath, and it would help my life to get rid of wrath and doubting. And I'm going to try to remember when it comes to let it slide off. Do you remember what you were mad about 3 times ago? Maybe you do. But if I can't remember, I probably shouldn't have got that mad about it. Just let it slide. Let it go. Do without wrath and without doubting. One more verse, 1 Timothy 3:16. Things we can do without. The Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached in the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And I'd say we could do without some controversy. Amen? There's no controversy about Jesus. There's no controversy about God. Made in the flesh, justified in the spirit, lived a perfect life, went to take our part on the cross, placed in a borrowed tomb, and then victoriously risen from the dead 3 days later. No controversy for me. He's Jesus. He's the one. I need to worship Him with all my days and all my ways, because there's no other that should get my attention and distract me from who He is and what He's done. What controversy is there about serving the Lord? Hey, just set it in your mind, teenager. There's nothing better in this world to serve than Jesus Christ. Right. It's without controversy. You look at the lives that are built on sand, and what you find is that they end up washing away or going away when the storm comes. You look around and just find some Christian examples of folks that were faithful And folks that continue to follow the Lord, I'm telling you, remove the controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. I don't think that we should go without controversy about Jesus. Set it up, line it up, it's done, settled. I'm going to serve him with all that I can. And just make your mind up for that right now. And it'd be good if we went without controversy. I think he's going to be worthy to get up and read about in the morning. I think he's going to be worthy to get and pray about in the morning. I think he's going to be worthy to tell somebody about in the afternoon. And, man, I'm excited about tomorrow. I'm not done with the day, but I'm excited about tomorrow. Without controversy, I know what I need to do. And hopefully you will too. The mystery of godliness, it shouldn't be a mystery for the Christian. It might be a mystery and unknown for the world, why that you serve him and the way you live about him. But I can do without the controversy. It should be settled, and that is all I need to do is just please the Lord tomorrow. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, there's